good to be here. I'm glad you're here on this weekend. It's a Memorial Weekend. We honor our vets, all of those. But there's another family I want us to remember that you've heard, some of you have heard on the news the last couple of days, a family by the name of Lloyd and a Baker. Davy and Natalie Lloyd. How many heard about them? The young couple, 23 years of age, missionaries in Haiti that were killed Thursday night in Haiti. Davy, as a little boy, wanted to be a missionary to Haiti his whole life. 23 years of age. He married Natalie. Her name was Baker. And her dad is a senator from Missouri. But they were killed Thursday night or Friday night. So we need to pray for those families. Okay, what a sacrifice those kids have made. And what an honor for them to serve the Lord. And so as you pray the weekend for your vets, pray for them too. All right? And it's always a joy for me to be here. I'm thinking about Pastor Leo, and I've reached out a month or so ago, and then he had the nerve to text me and want to know if I could handle a service today. That's amazing. But listen, I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Timothy. Okay? Timothy is in the New Testament. 1st and 2nd Timothy. Okay? There's a tremendous message in it. The first book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote these. The Apostle Paul wrote some 15 epistles that you read in the Gospel, in the New Testament. Over 15 that Paul wrote. Now, this is a letter to the church. The first epistle is a letter to the church of how the church operates. Read it. It's not difficult. The second epistle is another one, but it's more personal. And so, but I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning, verse 1. And then when you find that, we're going to pray. And Andrew's going to try to bring it up on the screen for you right there. All right? And so, but let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father, we pause to thank you this morning for your faithfulness, your goodness, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, as we gather in your name. You said where the two or three would gather, you would be in their midst. So thank you for your presence this morning, Holy Spirit. Minister to our hearts through the word, we pray. Inspire, illuminate our understanding to receive the word. And while we're praying for this ourselves today, we think of the family of Baker and Lloyd who lost some dear children because of their love for you. We ask you, Father, to strengthen the family today, encourage them, and be with them. We don't only pray for the missionaries there, but we pray for missionaries around the world. We also pray for our pastors, that you strengthen and encourage their hearts today in the name of Jesus. Those that stand behind the pulpit, deliver the word, bless them today, we pray. Strengthen them in Jesus' name. And the congregation said, amen. I mean, that's it. A while back I was reading this and it struck me, but it's 2 Timothy. Go to the 2 Timothy first. That, we're going to start there. We're going to go to chapter 2. And I want you to look at this first scripture. You therefore, my son. Now, Paul is writing this epistle. And he calls Timothy his son. Not a natural born, but a spiritual born son. If you're taking notes, write Acts chapter 16, 1 down. And I'll tell you about that first. But it says, Paul called him my son. Paul met Timothy at Lystra and Derbe, somewhere in that area. In Acts chapter 16, we hear the story about Paul ministering the word and traveling around as a missionary. And he came to the city and he met two women. He met Eunice and Lois, Timothy's mother and grandmother. And Paul tells them that these women were godly women. They're women of great faith, confidence, assurance. And also, as you read it, you'll find that they were well spoken of in the community. The community spoke highly of these two ladies. But what happened is that they instilled in this young man, Timothy, a faith in God that was strong. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But he says, my son, I want you to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Notice why he says be strong. Well, he doesn't tell us why, but I'm going to tell you why. He calls on Timothy. Timothy, let's go back to chapter 1 now. Or the first book of Ephesians. Let's get it back here, and then I'll tell you why. In the first epistle, Paul writes to Timothy again. In both epistles, you'll find he calls Timothy his son twice in both books. He calls him his son. Paul had another son in the faith. You know who he was? His name was Titus. The next book, you have Timothy, and then you have Titus. These are the two boys that followed the Apostle Paul. It's possible that Timothy could have wrote the letters that Paul dictated. It's possible that he could have been the author of that. But in the first epistle of Timothy, let's look at this. So we go there, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he identifies himself, called of God, by the command of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my hope. Verse 2 says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now, Timothy was a young boy when Paul was in Lystra preaching the word, Acts chapter 16. Paul took him under his arm, and Timothy was attracted by the preaching of the word to the Apostle Paul. So Paul took him under his wings and led him, and wherever he went, Timothy went. And Timothy grew in the knowledge of God. And as time passed, you'll find in Acts that verse 3 says this, Timothy, my son in the faith. Then we go to verse 3. I besought you to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some of them that they teach no other doctrine. Here's the deal. Paul pastored in Ephesus for 3 years. All right, and if you find it on your Bible map where it's at, it was the crossroad of the world there. All kinds of stuff came into the city of Ephesus. It was a mega city. All kinds of junk passed in that city. I mean, Temple of Diana, remember that? Called one of the seven wonders of the world. It took 300 years for them to build it. It was a mega building, 400 and some feet square. The towers on it were 60 feet high. Can you imagine that? It was a mega, and there was a women worship of goddess Diana. So that's all kinds of junk, orgies, and everything else in the world was going on. Paul battled in that city to establish a church. If you go to the book of Revelation, write that down, chapter 2, you'll read John the Beloved. As he is in the Spirit, the Lord shows him the seven churches, and the first church is the church of Ephesus. And what the angel of the Lord tells Paul, or John, this church is a strong church. It's a powerful church. I want to commend it. But then he says, but there's something I want to remind you, church. I want to remind you this morning something. The angel of the Lord says, John, write to the church of Ephesus and tell them I have this one thing against you. You know what it was? They had left their first love. They had left their first love. They allowed it to grow cold. The struggle of day-to-day living will take a pressure on you. It'll tax you, but you've got to know, you've got to inspire and stir yourself. And so Paul says, I was there 3 years, established a church. Okay, now he says, I want to go back to Macedonia and finish my missionary work. So he says, Timothy, I want you to remain in Ephesus. Excuse me? You've got a young pastor that's followed by, and Paul, you're putting him in charge of this church? And all the stuff that's going on in the city. And one of the things that Paul charges Timothy to do is make sure that you preach sound doctrine. Okay? Notice, so we go back to verse chapter 2 when Paul says, Timothy, I want you to be strong in the grace of the Lord. The reason he needed to be strong, because the church was beginning to experience persecution. We don't know what it is to be persecuted. We don't know what it is for people to come and shut your door. We don't know what it is to happen like the kids in Haiti last week, that gangs came into the church and the day school, Christian school, and they shot it up. And then they killed 3-5 people. We don't know what that's like to experience here. But it could happen. When today there's a struggle with what I believe by so many. They question the faith. They question the Word of God. Remember what Romans 1 says, 1:19 and 20? It says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Notice, when they knew Him. So Paul says, Timothy, I'm leaving you here, and there's a lot of competition here, but what I want you to do is, one, to be strong in the Lord. And I think that's a message to our church today, that you need to be strong in the Lord. All right, you need to be strong in the Word of God. You need to pray, and you need to pray in the Spirit, and you need to be strong, and you need to be sure that you declare the Word of God. Because we go back to when he says, I left you in Ephesus to set things in order. I want you to go now to chapter 2nd. Where's my next verse? Is it 2nd Timothy? Yeah, 2nd Timothy chapter 4. Okay? I got to find it. Verse 2. 2nd Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. There it is. Paul said, listen, Timothy, I want you to set things in order, because there's some people that are preaching the word that is not sound doctrine. But he says, what I want you to do is, I want you to preach the word. Be instant in and out of season, that you're able to give a reason for the hope that's within you. If you're caught, why was Paul in prison? You know why Paul was in prison? Paul later went back to Macedonia. Timothy is in Ephesus, and Paul is Macedonia, and then he gets arrested and taken to Rome. You know what happens? He's in open prison in Rome, and he gets people to come in and see him. But later, what happens is Paul is murdered. Paul is killed for his faith. That's the only reason they couldn't find anything else wrong. But they killed him because Nero wanted to wipe out religion and the Bible teaching. That's why persecution came. Not only did Paul die, but Peter also died. They died at similar times, within a short proximity of each other. And so Paul leaves Timothy in Ephesus, but there came a time when Paul said, Timothy, I want you to come and visit. I need you to come here. And so Timothy left and went to Ephesus for Rome for a while. Then he came back. And then there was another fellow that Paul put in Timothy's place. It's interesting to watch how Paul orchestrated the leadership of the church. And then later, Titus was left at Crete to preach the word. These two young boys of Paul. So I want you to be strong in the Lord. Two, I want you to preach the word. Make sure the word. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, there's no other way and no other name under heaven whereby you may be saved. You know that? Jesus is the way. There is no other way under the name of God that you can be saved. Okay? Preach the word. Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the same. Malachi chapters 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. You and I need to know that God is unchangeable. Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus, who came into this world to love this world and die on the cross and die for you, He loves you and me still. He's the same. We sang it in the song this morning. He's the same yesterday. And what He was yesterday, He will be today. What He could do yesterday. In Mark chapter 2, I love that chapter. It says, Jesus had been in the country and preaching, and then he came back to Capernaum. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, it was said that Jesus was in the house. I love that preacher. That can preach. Jesus is in the house. Amen. Jesus is in the house. Turn to somebody, Jesus is in the house. And the message got out that Jesus was in his house. And so people begin to gather in his house. And the crowd got so big that you couldn't get in the house. And while some of the group that came, remember there was a group of four that had a pallet, and they brought this man on it that was an invalid from his youth. And they couldn't get in the door, so what'd they do? They went, I don't know, there might have to be a repair job here this morning. They went up on the roof and they tore the roof up and let him down. What did Jesus say about the situation? Boys, this is not your house, you can't do that. No, what did he do? Jesus turned to the four boys and said, because of your faith, son, get up and walk. He called him a son. Notice that. Jesus called him a son. Paul calls Timothy a son. Who are you? The Bible says you and I are sons of God. Ephesians and Philippians says we are adopted sons of God. And so Jesus turned to this man and said, hey, get up off your bed. You're healed. What did the religious people say of the day? They looked at him and said, you can't do that. What did Jesus say? Yes, I did it. If you keep on reading in the first Mark chapter 2 down about 10 and 11 somewhere, it'll say this. Jesus said, I did it for you. Read that again in Mark chapter 2. Jesus said, I did it for you, that you might believe that I am. Jesus does the miracles so that you and I can believe that he is the Lord. Hallelujah. He's keeping you because so you can know that he is the Lord. I am able to keep that which was committed to me against that day. And you and I need to know that Jesus is able to keep you, that what you committed to the Lord, he's able to keep against that day. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm into the end of the world. I will go with you. You need to know that. God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday. What he said yesterday, he'll do. What he said yesterday, he'll do today. What he said yesterday, he'll do tomorrow. You and I need to know that. Jesus is the same. He said, God takes, Jesus Christ takes the thing that seems impossible. And you say, it won't work. Pastor, it won't work. There's no way under the sun. God takes things that man says is impossible and makes them possible. You know that? God is the impossible God. He does what nobody else can do. He will work when man can't. So you need to make sure we preach the word. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Okay? There's one more illustration. You can go to the book of Acts again. Acts chapter 1 is a beautiful script chapter in chapter 1. Jesus with the 120 of the people or more, and they're worshiping, praising the Lord, and Jesus talking about things about to happen. And all of a sudden, he's with the disciples, and he's talking to them, and all of a sudden, he's taken up out of their sight into the clouds. Remember that? And while they're looking up at the sky, all of a sudden, there's two men standing right beside him, dressed in white. And they said, hey, listen. Listen, fellas. This same Jesus you saw going to heaven is going to come, and just like many of you have seen him go. Jesus said, I will go. In John 14, I will go away. Jesus also said, I'll come again. And so you can believe that if Jesus said, I'm going and I'll come again to receive you, that where I am, there you may. You and I need to know that Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus is the Savior. He is a healer. He is a baptizer. And he's a soon coming King. Amen? Amen? He's coming. Now, it seems like it's been a long time. And it seems like it's quiet. Okay? What are you going to do? My last point. You got to go back to Timothy again. And you got to go back to Timothy. Let me see, where am I at? It's chapter 2, the second epistle of Timothy. Go back there. When you go home and read this all again, maybe it'll help you make some sense of things. But in 2 Timothy, I want you to go to chapter 1 again, okay? Paul says in verse 3, I remember you, Timothy, every day, and I pray for you. Boy, you do that. I greatly desire to see you. Verse 6 says, when I call to remembrance about you, I think of your mom and your grandmother and what great faith they had. Verse 6, here, the third thing. One was the first point we had said this morning, you need to be strong. You need to be strong. Two, you need to make sure you declare the word of God. You're preaching the word. It's not my human twist in it, but what Jesus' word said. And thirdly, you need to encourage yourself and stir yourself up. Here's what it says. And I was talking to my pastor. I have a pastor in Oregon, Medford, Oregon. He's 95. And 2 weeks ago, I was talking to him. And I said, Pastor wants me to come down here to speak. And I said, this is what I'm thinking about. And he said, you are? He says, I witnessed that and I agree with it. And he said, yes. And I said, well, this is what needs to happen. And when I gave him this verse in 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, amen to that. And I say the amen today. Notice what it says. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. Notice what Paul said to young Timothy. Paul, you know what that means? You know what that means? That means that the Apostle Paul took this young boy, Timothy, and at some time in the ministry, he laid his hands on Timothy and prayed for him, which is a transferring of power. When you lay hands on somebody and pray, you are transferring the power God gives you into them. And the Apostle Paul said, Timothy, I laid my hands on you, and I imparted unto you spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. Now, Timothy, I want you to stir him up. You understand what that's all about? That's a prophetic ministry. Understand? That's prophetic. I don't know anything about it. Yes, the prophetic. The prophetic ministry is thus saith the Lord. And when you stand and look at the storms around you and you pray, and thus saith the Lord. I've had experience when my pastor John was back in Iowa, back in the late 80s, it was late 80s. We lived in Ottumwa for 37 years, pastored two churches there. But while I was there, one summer in June, there was a tornado storm coming, and the sirens went off in the city, and the nursing homes, hospital, it started moving people. My friend John and I, Pastor John, we walked down the street to an overpass on the highway. We could look down along the river, and we could see the clouds coming this way. And him and I stood there and we prayed and rebuked it and told it to get out of here and go. And it went. I won't tell you what happened. It destroyed six homes in another town. But it's, I know. Don't smile. Don't smile, please. Hey, listen. Stir up the gift in a day today when it's the church at large is. What Paul said to the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation chapter 2. I have this against you, church. You've left your first love. Go back and stir it up. And secondly, stir up the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands. To realize that you, the Bible says we agree. We lay hands on one another. I want you to stir up the gifts of God, which was put in on you by the laying on of hands. For God has not given you, now listen, why is he doing this? Because church is facing persecution in that day. But notice verse 7, for God has not given you, us, but change that us to you, make it personal. For God has not given you the spirit of fear. Okay? Hey, fear freezes you up. Fear stifles the work of God in you. You have to believe that the God of the impossible and the God who called you is able to perform what he said he would do in you. That God didn't call you and then leave you out of here in a boat and let the storms come. No, he empowered you. Listen, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. Some may be facing making a decision. And you're groping with, how am I going to make this? What am I going to do? Shall I do this or shall I not? Right? Don't let fear dictate what you do. Let faith dictate what you're going to do. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm operating with science, soundness of mind. God's going, we build the church like you guys did. We led a church in transition, and we've done that in three different places, in different pastors. We've relocated three churches in different places. Listen, we took a little church and we had no place to go, no place to park. And God put some things in my heart and my mind and began to do it. And the church said, we can't do that. It's amazing what God did. We relocated one church, bought property, bought land like you guys did here and built. And God took care of it. The building was paid off before we left. Listen, don't let fear dictate you, but stir up. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. He who called you is faithful. So you need to know, God's called you. Be faithful in your calling. Don't run away from it. Don't fear it. Walk in it. Believe God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. God says, I'll put you in a particular place that you can see my glory. I'll place you in a place, and you'll look, Paul, and say, this is ridiculous and crazy. But God says, I want you to go there and do this. And it's not about you, it's about God and you being obedient. Today, as we close, listen, God's calling the church to be strong. God's calling the church to rise up and be strong. God's calling the church to make sure we preach the word. God's calling the church to stir up. The church stir up the gifts. We also stir up what our own faith. Stir it up today. If you got cold and got indifferent, your enemies come. Listen, today, you need to make, Lord, I want to make you Lord of my life again. Have your way. Stir. So as we come this morning and close, I want to pray for you. Lord, I bring this congregation before you today. You brought them to this place not to become complacent, but you brought them to this place to show that you are Lord and that they are to be a light in this light area of the world. We're called to be the light in the dark. We're called to be light of the world and let our light so shine before men that they might see the good works of God. Lord, have your way in this congregation. Have your way with this pastor. Give fresh vision. Give fresh inspiration to him as he continues to pastor. Refresh him. Inspire. Renew a vision. Then you're not done yet. We can't stop. Because the Bible says you're coming. In an hour we think not. Have your way in this congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's stand together. I'm going to give you one final word before I leave. Okay? And I'm going to get in trouble when I leave. But it's okay. I'll get in trouble with my wife. But I'm going to give you a verse of scripture, kid. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us provoke one another to love and good works. Paula? I use that verse of scripture for the last, I've used that for the last year. Right, Grandma? I use that. I get to provoke you, sissy, but you have to love me and do good works. Now the word provoke, Andrew, is not in a negative sense. So don't take it negative. It means simply to inspire or exhort you or to encourage you to go on. Go on. Don't stop. So I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to provoke you to love others and do good works continually. Okay? And then the next verse is 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a man or some is. And so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Okay? So I want to leave you at that. Lord, thank you for this morning together. I trust that somewhere along the way, somebody received something positive from us. Ask you to encourage them, and may they be encouraged with somebody else today in Jesus' name. Amen.